Good evening, everybody. Agutiar. So now that Pesach is over, I want to discuss an issue that rises. The Divrei Malkiel has the following shaila, and it's something that we should think about after many of us may have done a Mechiras Chametz before Pesach began. So here's an issue that the Tshuva's Divrei Malkiel raises for us, something that probably many of us have not thought about. Now obviously, the Minhag HaOlam proves that the shaila of the Divrei Malkiel is obviously flawed. But we have to figure out exactly why. So the question is as follows. I go to Eretz Yisrael for Pesach. I'm not going to be home at all. So in order to keep things simple, I decide, why start writing down on the Mechiras Chametz sheet that I'm selling this cabinet and this room and that? Why not just say, I'm going to sell my whole house? Right? That's the easy way to do it. Just write down on the Mechiras Chametz that I'm selling my entire apartment, I'm selling my entire house. And that's it. I saved myself from having to enumerate exactly which parts of the house or which parts of Chametz I specifically would like to sell. Well, that's all wonderful. However, the Divrei Malkiel wonders, what happens now that after Pesach is over, I buy my house back? Now it seems that for a week my house did not belong to me, and my mezuzahs were up from the time that the house did belong to me. So do we say there's an issue of Tasev Elomen Ha'asi on my mezuzahs on the house? And now when I buy my house back, maybe I should have to reaffix my mezuzahs onto the house. So let's go mehakala lakaved. Let's first begin. What is this whole issue of tasav alamina asa in other contexts in halacha? And we'll bring it into hilchos mezuzah appropriately. So number one, we have the Gemara tells us in sukkah that when a person is building for himself a sukkah, he has to be careful because the pasuk says, chaga sukkahs tasav lacha shivas yamim. Since the pasuk says taseh b'lashon, then I have to actually proactively make my sukkah. So we darshan from there that taseh v'lo min ha'asi. For example, the Gemara has a case where a person just somehow ends up with a sukkah, but it didn't really happen because I made it that way. So the Gemara has an example. Let's say whatever, you can think of your own cases, but the Gemara has complicated cases how we find a sukkah can be made without a proactive ingredient involved in the making of the sukkah. So in such a case, the Gemara tells us unequivocally that on sukkahs, that would be a pasul of sukkah because tase velo min ha'asui. Now what is the halacha by other areas in halacha? Do we assume tase velo min ha'asui is an issue or not? So if you look when it comes to the mitzvah of tzitzis, so the pasuk tells us as well, gedilim tase lecha al arba kanfos ksuscha. Right, the pasuk says beferish over there also, tase, that I have to make my tzitzis. The Netziv goes so far as to say, quoting a Yerushalmi, that there's a mitzvah to make my own tzitzis. I shouldn't have someone else make them. He says there's a mitzvah to tie my own tzitzis because it says taseh. The Yerushalmi even says a person makes a bracha when he makes his own tzitzis. So we don't paskin like that. But there is some sort of involvement that I'm supposed to have in the making of my tzitzis. Now what happens, says the Shulchan Aruch as follows. What happens in a case, the Gemara does tell us in Menachos Daf Mem, that there's an issue of tasev elo min ha'asui when it comes to the mitzvah of tzitzis. So here's a case, a practical case, that the Shulchan Aruch gives us in Hilchos Tzitzis, Siman Yud and Arachayim. Shulchan Aruch says, what happens if I have a three-cornered garment, and I have fixed tzitzis onto three of the corners? And now, a three-cornered garment generally is not chayim in tzitzis. Always is not chayim in tzitzis. Now, I decide to go ahead and cut, after fixing tzitzis on three of the corners, I go ahead and I make a corner out of the fourth side. So now, this beged is now becoming chayiv in tzitzis. However, when I put the tzitzis on, it was not called a beged that's chayiv in tzitzis at all. So the Shulchan Aruch says, based on a Gemara Menachos Daf Mem Amud Beis, that if you have a situation like that, where you had a beged, which al pi halacha is not really called a beged, because in order to be considered a beged, it has to have four corners. If I have a beged like that, and at the time that I put the tzitzis on the corners, it was not yet a shame beged, but now later on I create a shame beged out of it, that would be possible because of tasev elo min ha'asui. I would have to go ahead and take the strings off and now retie them again onto this beged in order for it to be kosher.
Even though you're getting the fourth part, the fourth tzitzit at the time you make the corner.
Yeah, because you have to put all the tzitzis on the beged at a time when the beged is considered a real garment. But if you put it on before... Right. Yeah, so that it's a little bit too complicated to discuss here, but that is where a lot of this comes from, that Gemara and Erevin. A lot of the discussion by Mezuzah is based on that Gemara and Erevin, which we'll get to in a minute. So the Menchas Chinuch has a very interesting suffix. Says the Menchas Chinuch in Mitzvah Tav Chav Gimel that one can question, what exactly is the psul of tasav alamana asik? Do I assume that any time there's an issue at the time that I'm doing the mitzvah, and it wouldn't be able to be mekuyim as is, so we assume right off the bat that that's a psul of tasav alamana asui? Or do I assume, no, it's only in the case of tzitzis, let's say, where it wasn't called a beged before. The chepta itself was not a garment, and now I put the tzitzis onto this garment, it's as if I tied tzitzis onto the ground. So that's where we assume. It's only where it's a psul and a chepta, where I have an outside little problem that's in my way, and then later on I remove that issue. We'll say nafkamina in a second, which will make this clear. So the Minchas Chinuch is not sure, what do you assume in that type of situation? For example, I go ahead, I have a beged that's chayv in tzitzis, right? Called the Shem Beged at his four corners. Now what's going to happen if I take that Beged and I go and I don't have enough money to afford strings. So I go ahead and I steal strings from someone else. I steal someone else's tzitzis strings and I have intent to tie them onto my Beged of tzitzis. So what's my problem here? Is this garment not called a garment? It is called a garment. I have a side issue that these tzitzis don't belong to me. So the Minchas Chinuch has a suffix. What would you assume in such a case? Should we assume that any time there's a problem which would stop me from being mekayim my mitzvah, so then I would assume that later on, even if I go ahead and I pay the person for his tzitzis and I fix up the problem, still it was done in a situation of tasav alamana asi, and that would be a problem. So mitzvah of avera doesn't really apply this way, because let's say I paid him for it now, but at the time that I tied it, at the time that I tied him on, I had not yet paid. I stole them, I tied them on my tzitzis, and then later on I realized that it wasn't the right thing to steal them. Maybe I'm not going to be mekayem my mitzvah, maybe mitzvah ba'avera. So I go ahead and I pay him. So now I fix up the issue. Now they belong to me. I paid him for them. The problem is, maybe that should be considered tasav alamana asei as well. So this is a very sensitive suffix in the Minchas Chinuch. Should we assume that any time there's any type of psul which would stop me from being mekayem my mitzvah of tzitzis, that would say that it's a problem of tasav alamana asei? Or is it no, only if it's an issue where it's intrinsic in the chetzah shal mitzvah itself? It's not considered a chetzah at all. It's not a garment. That's the only time the Shulchan Aruch said there's an issue of tasav alamana asui. And this will be very relevant for the cases of mezuzah, as we'll see in just a minute. So now let's go a little bit further. What would you say, a very common example? What is the halacha of Tzi Pesach Frank has a suffix? What if a person puts on his tefillin shal yad, and afterward he realizes that his sleeve is being mopsik in between the bias and his arm? Or, for example, a person puts on his tefillin shel rosh and he realizes later that his yarmulke was in the way or there was something else in the way. So what would you say in a case like that? Should there be an issue now? I pull my yarmulke out and now the tefillin falls on my head, or I take my sleeve out and now the tefillin falls on my arm. Is that an issue of tasav alamana asui? The tefillin just showed up on my arm miraculously. Somehow we figured out a way to beat the system that I didn't even have to put the tefillin on, but they ended up being on my arm. So that's the suffix of Reb Tzvi Pesach Frank. What would he say by tefillin? Is there an issue or not? So Reb Tzvi Pesach Frank begins by saying that it's not so simple in the first place that there's an issue of chatzitza on the arm. He says it seems to be machlokes harishonim, the Rashba and the Rush. Should we assume that if a person puts his tefillin on with a sleeve in between, maybe that shouldn't be an issue at all? Okay, so that's question number one. But assuming that it is a chatzitza, right? We all try to be machmer, we try to take our sleeves up, we try to take our yarmulkes out of the way. Obviously we try as much as we can not to have any sort of chatzitza. So assuming that it is a chatzitza, is there an issue now that I pull my sleeve out, or now that I pull my yarmulke out, is there an issue of tase velo min ha'ase? So Reb Tzvi Pesach Frank comes out over there, and I spoke to my father today about this as well. He thought it was pashut that since by tefillin it doesn't say anything about tase, there is no commandment in the Torah that I have to actually put them on my arm, meaning the only way to get them on your arm is by putting them. But over here, if you figured out a way, you figured out a gimmick of how to get the tefillin on your arm without actually putting them, meaning I put them on my arm and then I roll my sleeve out, so that would be considered a good hanacha and there would be no issue of tasav alamana asi. So now let's get to our case. The Gemara says in Menachas Daf Lamed Gimel, when I have the following situation by a mezuzah, which is very connected to the sugya and erevin as well, for anyone who's learning the Daf Yomi, so how do you make a karpif and how do you figure out exactly the structure of a certain area. So this is very nogea to that Gemara, but over here, hanogea in yonenu, the Gemara says the following case. Let's say I'm a construction worker. So I decide everyone orders doorposts from me. Everybody. So I decide, you know what, let me make life easier from them. Anyone who's going to order a doorpost will already have a mezuzah fixed on the doorpost. I sell doorposts like this. Great business, right? So I'll charge them a couple of extra dollars, and I'll just sell them a doorpost with a mezuzah on it. Then when they go and give it to the contractor to put into their house, so they just save themselves a very easy hassle of having to go around and buy mezuzahs and check them. Everything's already done for them. So what is the halacha in such a case? So the Gemara tells us, at least according to Rashi's explanation of the Gemara, that when I have that type of scenario, I make a doorpost and I put a mezuzah onto the doorpost, and only later do I affix it onto a house, that is a psul because of tase v'lo min ha'asui. A person has to actually put the mezuzah on at a time when it's a part of the house. A regular doorpost that's just in the middle of a city, if I put it into the ground, that's not chayv in mezuzah. It's only if it's attached to something, if it's a house or if it's a gate to the city. But stam a doorpost is not chayv. So that's what the Gemara tells us, that a regular doorpost that is not attached to a house would not be considered a good affixing of the mezuzah. That is a psul of taseh v'lo min ha'asi. So then you look in Shulchan Aruch and Hilchas Mezuzah and Reish Pei Vav. So Pischei Tshuva has a commentary in the bottom, but then on the side he also has a Nachlas Tzvi, which are comments on the comments. So over there in the Nachlas Tzvi, he has the following suffix from the Achronim. We all know the Gemara says in Menachos as well, that what if a person living in Chutz Laaretz only rents a house for 30 days? Is he chayv to put up a mezuzah? So the Gemara says if he's renting a house just for a short period of time, no chayv mezuzah. What if I'm renting a house for the next year? But from day one I know that I'm going to be here for the next year. I sign a lease that I would like to rent this house for the next year. So would I be chayv in mezuzah already from day one? Or do we assume, no, you're only chayv in mezuzah from day 30. So some will say, what's the difference? Just put it up now on day one, and you'll be mekayim both shitas. So there's a big machlokes in the Achronim, and what is the proper thing to do in such a case? If I rent a house in Chutz Laaretz, and I know that I'm going to be in the house for longer than 30-day period of time, must I put up the mezuzah today, the first day, or should I wait till after 30 days to put up the mezuzah? So why not be machmir? Put it up on the first day. What do you have to lose? Well, says the Nachlas Tzvi, there's a lot to lose. Menachas Chinuch writes this as well. There's a lot to lose because there's a psul of tasa v'lom and ha'asui. So if I put up the mezuzah on day one and I'm not chayiv in the mezuzah until after day 30, maybe I was not yet mekayim my mitzvah mezuzah because I put it up at the time that there is no chayiv mezuzah. So this is a big discussion in the Menachas Chinuch. Again, we said before, the Menachas Chinuch says he's not sure by the case of tzitzis. Do we assume that every time I put on my tzitzis in a way that I wouldn't be able to be mekayim a mitzvah, automatically we assume that's a psul of tasav alamin ha'asui? Or is it only in a case where there's an issue with the chetzah shal mitzvah? Is it only in a case where this beged was not a beged, and I fix all the tzitzis on them, and then I make it into a beged? That's tasav alamin ha'asui. But if the beged was a beged, just I was not mechuyev at the time, so maybe there's room to assume in such a case that I would be able to be mekayim my mitzvah in that type of fashion. So this is a big discussion in the Menachas Chinuch as well as in the Shtei Chemed. They're ma'arich on this. What does a person do when he moves into a house, al-das to be there for longer than 30 days? May he put up the mezuzah now, or must he wait until after 30 days? So getting back to our Shaila here. Here I am, I went to Eretz Yisrael for Pesach, I now buy my house back from the Goy. Ask the Divrei Malkiyo, do I have to now take down my mezuzahs and put them back up, because that might be an issue of taseh v'lo min ha'asi? So that is the shaila. So if you look in the Shari Tshuva and Hilchas Sukkah, so Shari Tshuva has a case which was hard to imagine that this was a case in his times. But in Tafresh Chavav, the Shari Tshuva quotes one of the Achronim that they had some kind of contraption. Now we understand what it is, but then not sure how they had it, where you had a dining room, and then for Sukkahs you pressed a button, and the roof comes off, and you just put schach on it. So many of us know of such things. But the Shari Tshuva is already talking about this a few centuries ago. So Shari Tshuva writes, what's the din? A sukkah is not chayv in mezuzah. A dining room is chayv in mezuzah. So what happens? I put my mezuzah up when I built the house. Sukkah comes, I press the button, and the roof comes flying off, and I put on schach. Now after sukkah, I press the button again, and the roof comes on. So am I chayv to take off the mezuzah and put it back on after sukkah? What do you say to that? So the Shari Tshuva has this suffix. Says the Shari Tshuva, it's a big discussion in the Achronim, and he says, some Achronim say that since at the time that you put it up, I put it up when the bias was called a bias, so that would be considered a good kviyas hamezuzah, and I don't have to take it down after Sukkot is over. However, there is an opinion that the Shari Tshuva quotes which disagrees. He says, what do you mean? When I take the roof off, it no longer has a shame bias. This is not a house. It's the same as if I knock down a house and I just leave all the doorposts and build a house around it. That's not called a mezuzah that was put up as shas chayiv. It lost the whole chetzah shel bayis, went away. The whole name, the whole shem bayis has left from since the time that I put up the mezuzah until now. So much has changed in the interim, and therefore Many achronim assume that in such a case, a person would have to take off his mezuzahs and actually put them back on. Now, what happens in a case like ours? I sell my house to the Nachri. Now I buy it back. So is that similar to the case of Sukkah, or is it different? Would we assume that that's a safe analogy to assume that it should be the same? That the same way over there, when it, once it loses its shame bias, I now have to put the mezuzahs up again. Should I assume the same would apply here or not? So that's a big shaila. And it would seem that it's not at all the same, because at the time that I put up my mezuzah, I did it on something that was called a house. Nothing changed intrinsically in the house from the time I put it up until now. The only thing that changed was circumstances. I used to live in it. Now for a week, the guy lived in it. But the house remained a house. I didn't take down the mezuzahs in the interim. The house remained a house. Everything stayed put. It just happens to be that it was taken by somebody else in the interim. So in such a case, we assume that since it was put up as shas chiyuv and nothing changed intrinsically in the chetzah shel bayis in between, so we assume that one can rely on the fact that the mezuzahs were put up then, and he no longer would have to take them off and put them back on. You look in the Pischei Tshuva in Yerideya, in Hilchos Mezuzah, he quotes a very fascinating chiddush from Rabbi Akiva Eiger. Akiva Eiger assumes every one of us who goes to work leaves our house during the day. Akiva Eiger assumes the same way by sukkah, when a person leaves the sukkah and comes back, he has to make a new leishe basukkah each time. Says Rabbi Akiva Eiger, the same would apply if a person leaves his house and comes back at night. He has to make a new bracha, Lader Rabbaya Sheyesh Ba Mezuzah. A whopper of a chiddush of Rabbi Akiva Eiger. Says every time a person leaves his house and comes back, he has to make a new bracha every night. Okay, so obviously we don't assume like Rabbi Akiva Eiger, but it is quoted in Pischei Tshuva in Yerideya. And Rabbi Akiva Eiger just says, a person would have to recite this bracha of Lader Rabbaya Sheyesh Ba Mezuzah. Now we happen not to paskin like that. Shita Mekubetzas and Bab Metzia already writes in Daf Kuf Aleph, Hashem Rabbeinu Yonasan, that even if a person has 10 homes, he has a vacation house and a house over here and a house over there, and I'm only going to be in each one for 2 weeks a year, I still have a chiyuv to put up a mezuzah in each one. When we say mezuzah chavas hadar, it doesn't just mean when I'm actually in the house. Mezuzah chavas hadar means if it's a place that I might potentially use, I'm a chiyuv to put up a mezuzah. It's something to keep in mind. Let's say there are people who go away for the summer. So they take all the mezuzahs off from their house in Far Rockaway and they bring them to the mountains. That's not right, because we paskin that all the homes need mezuzahs, even if I'm not there. Even if I'm going away for 2 months, I'm still mechuyev to keep mezuzahs here. We don't paskin like Rabbi Akiva Eiger. So a person has to be careful to have two sets of mezuzahs. One that he keeps over here, one that he affixes over there in the mountains. But
you go to timeshare if you here?
What?
You go to timeshare in Cancun or somewhere for 2 weeks a year, but you have to bring it down.
And how does it work? What is it the other weeks of the year? It doesn't belong to you?
It doesn't belong to you.
Oh, well, over there you might have a concern that someone's going to be mezalzel in the mezuzah and, you know.
Take it off and you leave.
Okay, take it off and you leave.
You have to bring mezuzah.
What, if it's only for 2 weeks?
Yeah, but would you own it?
Yeah, so it's yours.
It's not a rental.
Oh, it's not a rental, so you have
so
to.
So you own it for
yeah,
like
that's yours.
Seconds.
There's a there's a shiloh bismanazeh, even if rentals, you have a tour for 30 days, because nowadays we paskin, Tosfos says in the first parak in Avodah Zarah, we paskin bismanazeh that tzchiris is koneh. Because Dina de Machusadina, we assume that when I rent something, it does belong to me. Imagine I rented a house, and the landlord comes in one day, he says, I'm sorry, I'm not interested in you living here. I'll sue him. He doesn't have a right to do that. We signed the contract. So nowadays, we assume Schiris is Kona. Whatever, it's a separate issue. But basically, when it comes to this, Rabbi Akiva Eiger, what?
What if you leave the mezuzahs? Let's say every month there's, you know,
right. So that's the same as our case. That's the same as our case.
Right.
Our case was where it was put up as shas chiyuv, so even though time elapsed in between and different people owned it in between, doesn't mean that it lost its shame bias in between, so therefore it would be okay, you would have nothing to worry about.
In between, would they have to use the same mezuzah?
Right. But over here, Rabbi Akiva Eiger, all I want to point out from Rabbi Akiva Eiger is that even though he says that each time a person revisits this home, he has to make a bracha again, Rabbi Akiva Eiger himself never said that you have to take the mezuzahs off and put them back on. He just says, come home and make a bracha, just like every time I enter my sukkah, I have to make a new bracha, leisha basukkah, so too every time I come into the house, I have to make a bracha, lader rabbi sheish ba mezuzah. But Rabbi Akiva Eiger himself never assumed that you have to take the mezuzah off and put it back because of tassav alam and asui. Why? Because in that case, the house was the house the whole time. Even if you were at work, even if you went on vacation for a few weeks, nothing intrinsically changed in the house. The house stayed the way it was. When that is the case, and it was put up at a time when it was called a bias, we assume that one would not have to remove the mezuzah and put it back up. So the halacha lemaisa, what? You're allowed to leave it for a guy as long as you don't think that he's going to be mezalzel in it. So I think we have enough room to assume that the guy who bought our homes from us over Pesach probably not going after the mezuzahs. He might go after our schnapps or other things.
If you buy a house from a guy, right, you get there before, so the mezuzah is still there.
Right.
So the mezuzahs are there from the previous owner.
It's okay, as long as you assume that he didn't do anything to them, as long as you assume they're kosher, that's fine. Okay, so that's basically the halacha l'maaseh is. The Divrei Malkiel himself comes out after a person buys his home back after Pesach that he has to reaffix the mezuzahs. But from what we've discussed, it seems that the overwhelming majority of the opinions would assume in this case that one absolutely would not have to do so. Even if I sold my whole home to the guy for Pesach, I do not have to go ahead and buy back and reaffix the mezuzahs after I buy back the house. We assume that since the mezuzahs were put up at a time when this was my house, at a time when I was mechuyev, at a time that this was called a house already, that would not be any sort of issue of tasav alamin ha'asui, and one can go ahead and use the mezuzahs the same way he was using them before. Wish everyone a wonderful evening.